Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, Thursday, July 9th, 2020. Politics. Trump to visit Odessa later this month. Invitation shows three-part fundraiser, including $100,000 per person roundtable opportunity, by Stuart Doran. President Donald Trump is tentatively scheduled to make his first public appearance in the Permian Basin as president at the end of the month, and the invitation says it will take place in Odessa. A Permian Basin special event with Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, is scheduled for July 29th in Odessa, according to the invitation from the Donald Trump-Pence Victory Committee. The event offers three different opportunities for those willing to donate money to be with the president. The first is a $100,000 per person round table with the president. The second is a $50,000 per couple photo opportunity with the president. The last is a $2,800 per person luncheon with Donald Trump. The invitation doesn't indicate the location of any of the events, as additional details will be provided upon RSVP. Kindly RSVP to events@gop.com or 202-863-8657. Space is limited and RSVPs will be accommodated on a first-come, first-serve basis. Anyone wanting to make a contribution can do so at the following website: secure.winred.com/TrumpVictory/OdessaPotus. The event would be the first for the 45th President of the United States in Midland, Odessa. Vice President Mike Pence came to Midland in April 2019. The last sitting president to come to Midland was George W. Bush in October 2008. He and First Lady Laura Bush visited the George W. Bush childhood home, which had been developed a couple of years earlier. Yes, I understand he is coming to our area, and we are very excited, said Sherry Marquette, Midland County Republican Party chairman. Trump's visit to Odessa will come in the midst of an election year and presidential candidates' visit to Midland previously for campaign reasons has been common. In August 2012, then-Republican nominee Mitt Romney raised more than $3 million during an event at the Petroleum Club of Midland. Romney also spoke at a Midland County Republican Women's Luncheon in 2008 while running for his party's nomination. Other GOP primary contenders making stops in Midland that year were Rudolph Giuliani and Mike Huckabee. Senior Care. City to create comprehensive Plan for Senior Centers by Stuart Doran. The City of Midland will start to take a more comprehensive look at its senior center facilities to provide a better experience in the long term. Community Services Director Tina Haas told the Reporter-Telegram the plan is to develop a senior service master plan to give an idea of what that senior programming looks like moving forward. Haas said the plan will take less than a year to create, and those things it addresses include current facilities and programs. Last year, the Midland City Council talked about putting money into new senior facilities. Haas said the master plan will give them an idea what is needed. Currently, the City of Midland has two senior centers. Midland Senior Center, Citizens Center, 3303 West Illinois Avenue, and Southeast Senior Center, 1803 East Indiana Avenue. The city works with Senior Life Midland, which currently operates the facilities. Haas said that the nonprofit's board came to a decision to focus on nutrition and not programming. Senior Life's contract with the city runs out at the end of October, and Senior Life expressed interest in continuing to partner with the city on nutritional needs associated with the centers, Haas said. She said the current contract with Senior Life Midland is $600,000, an increase from $400,000 one year ago. The money saved will be put into resources that will allow the city to hit the ground when they take over operations in November. During a fiscal 2021 budget workshop on Tuesday, the city heard about plans to hire a superintendent and two program specialists for the new Senior Services Division. The proposed budget also includes money to replace exterior LED lights and exterior ceiling tiles, paint the Southeast Senior Center, and install outdoor benches. The last time the city's recreational division oversaw senior services was 1988, according to Haas. The staff is excited, Haas said. We have a staff member with experience with senior recreational activities in other cities. Haas said the city's senior centers aren't open right now because of the coronavirus pandemic. She said, should the council approve moving forward with a consultant and the creation of a master plan, then a survey will be used to obtain feedback. Warris said, Senior Life is currently doing grab-and-go meals to help meet the nutritional needs of Midland's older population, and the city will distribute the survey when residents pick up meals. City of Midland. Sales tax collection drops by nearly 30%. Stuart Doran. The City of Midland reported its second straight 20%+ drop in sales tax year over year. The city's collection fell by 29.45% in July, following a 23.70% drop in June. Sales tax collection is based on spending on eligible items from 2 months earlier. So July's collection represents spending in May. In terms of total dollars, the amount collected, $4.968 million, is more than $1.46 million less than July 2019. That put the year-to-date total even further behind the amount collected last fiscal year. The city reported that the $44.252 million collected year-to-date is $5.35 million behind last year's pace through July. Despite the oil price downturn and coronavirus pandemic, the amount collected is the fourth most collected during a month of July. The city set a goal of $55 million in sales tax collected for this fiscal year, and with two collections left in the 2020 fiscal year, it is unlikely that mark will be reached. Last year was the only year on record when the city collected more than $10 million in sales tax during the months of August and September. City of Midland staff told the Midland City Council during a budget workshop on Tuesday they are anticipating between $52 million and $53 million. If Midland finishes the rest of the year down 30% year over year, the total sales tax collected would be closer to $51.7 million, the second highest sales tax collection in the city's history. A goal of $49.7 million in sales tax collected has been budgeted for the fiscal year 2021. NWS, 4 days of 110 degree highs in forecast, by Stuart Doran. The National Weather Service forecast is calling for one of the most extreme periods of hot weather in the city's history. The NWS on its website is calling for possibly 4 straight days of 110 degree high temperatures beginning Saturday. The forecast calls for a high between 105 to 110 on Saturday and Sunday, and then high temperatures around 110 on Monday and Tuesday. Should Midland receive even 2 straight days of 110 degree weather, it would be the second time in recorded history. The only other time there were at least 2 straight days of 110 degrees weather was July 26 through the 28th, 1994. That year, the highs reached 112, 116, and 114 degrees, respectively. Highs today through Friday are expected to top 100 degrees and ultimately reach 104 degrees. City. Coronavirus cases in Midland top 1,000. Community transmission is number one source of exposure in the county, by Stuart Doran. The number of coronavirus cases inside Midland County during the pandemic is greater than 1,000. The Midland Health Department reported Wednesday that another 44 cases were reported, bringing the total to 1,020. Of those, 744 are considered active. The rise of cases topping 1,000 started in earnest in June, as nearly 900 cases have been reported in the last 38 days. This week alone, Monday through Wednesday, the city reported 248 cases, nearly one quarter of those during the entire pandemic inside Midland County. The rise of cases to greater than 1,000 also happened on the same day that community transmission became the number one source of exposure in the county. Community transmission, or community spread, according to the CDC, occurs when people have been infected with the virus in an area, including some who are not sure how or where they became infected. There have been 425 cases in which community transmission has been identified as the source of exposure. On May 31st, the number was 13. Contact to a known case is now second, with 424. Residents in their 20s and 30s made up 24 of the 44 new cases. Those age groups, 20 to 29 and 30 to 39, remain the only two groups with more than 200 cases each, 288 and 213 respectively. Total cases: Monday, 155. Tuesday, 449. Wednesday, 44. Total through Monday, 1,020. Gender, male, 465. Female, 555. Age range, 0 to 19 on Tuesday, 121. Wednesday, 126. Age 20 to 29, Tuesday, 275, Wednesday, 288. Age range 30 to 39, Tuesday, 202, Wednesday, 213. Age range 40 to 49, Tuesday, 136, Wednesday, 142. Age range 50 to 59, Tuesday 105, Wednesday 111. Age range 60 to 69, Tuesday 72, Wednesday 74. Age range 70 to 79, Tuesday 35, Wednesday 35. Age range 80 plus, Tuesday 30, Wednesday 31. Patient status: home isolation on Tuesday 677, Wednesday 713. Recovered: Tuesday 250, Wednesday 257. Hospital: Tuesday 20, Wednesday 21. Death: Tuesday 19, Wednesday 19. Nursing rehab: Tuesday 10, Wednesday 10. Source of exposure: community transmission Tuesday 397, Wednesday 425. Contact to a known case Tuesday 412, Wednesday 424. Contact to a known case, travel related 158 on Tuesday, 162 on Wednesday. under investigation Tuesday 9, Wednesday 9. City to take over marketing at Scarborough Sports Complex by Stuart Dorn. The City of Midland will take over control of marketing of the Scarborough Sports Complex. Community Services Director Tina Haas told the Reporter Telegram that while the city continues to have a great relationship with Midland Sports Incorporated, the Midland Rockhounds, now is a good time for the city to take the lead role in the marketing and recruitment of events at the dual stadium facility on the west side of Midland. The plan includes hiring a superintendent in the Community Services Department to manage the complex. That position was addressed during the Midland City Council's budget workshop on Tuesday. Haas said the move is another in the city taking more responsibility for the success and sustainability of the complex. She told the Reporter Telegram that the city already took over janitorial services at the complex, and having a superintendent will not only help with marketing, but also in overseeing a proper maintenance schedule at the football, soccer, baseball, and auxiliary fields. The Scarborough Sports Complex opened in 2002. And this will be the first time Community Service has overseen its marketing. The Rockhounds are in the midst of a $106,000 a year contract. Because of the coronavirus, it's not possible to hold events at the venue. It is a great opportunity to take that in-house, Haas said. She said the Rockhounds will continue to take the lead on advertising in the stadiums. According to the city, advertising revenue from the baseball stadium accounted for $111,300 or 15% of revenue brought into the sports complex fund this year. The football soccer stadium accounted for $78,000 or 11%. Naming rights at both stadiums added another $84,375. Expenses include $2 million for depreciation, $903,000 for facilities, maintenance, and $681,000 for contractual services. Hector County reports 982 active cases. Patient from Crane dies, by J.C. Lewis. The Hector County Health Department reported that the county has 1,105 confirmed cases and 497 probable cases on Wednesday. The county has 982 active cases as of Wednesday, with a total case count of 1,602 since March. The Health Department reported that 3,445 people have been contact traced and 662 people have recovered. There have been 10,406 total tests taken, with 7,866 negative results and 938 pending results. Medical Center Health System CEO and President Russell Tippin said MCH is treating 48 patients, the most so far. The hospital is treating 19 patients on the seventh floor. One patient is from Focused Care in Odessa, and two patients are from Sienna Nursing Home. 13 patients are being treated on the eighth floor. One patient is from Rees County, two are from Focused Care in Odessa, one is from Winkler County, Kermit, one is from Sienna Nursing Home, and one is from Permian Basin Community Center Group Home. 16 patients are being treated in the critical care unit with 9 patients on ventilators. He said that is the most patients they have had on ventilators. The hospital has taken 3,801 tests with 573 positive results, 2,727 negative results, and 501 pending results. MCH Chief Nursing Officer Christine Timmons said staffing across the board has been the biggest stressor on the hospital. Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohith Saravana said the hospital had a death on Tuesday. The patient, a woman in her 80s, had improved and was sent back to the hospital in Crane. She was a resident at Focused Care in Crane. ORCMC CEO and President Stacy Brown said the hospital is treating 15 patients for coronavirus. Of those patients, two are from the Courtyards Assisted Living, one patient is from Pecos County, and one is from Big Spring. The hospital currently has 13 staff members who aren't working. 10 of those staff members have tested positive and were community-acquired cases. The hospital has taken 1,018 tests with 156 positive results, 844 negative results, and 118 pending results. University of Texas Permian Basin Associate Dean of the College of Nursing, Minerva Gonzalez, said the results of the two free city testing sites have come back. The total for Sherwood Park is 197 tested, with 47 positive and 150 negative. Woodson Park total tested is 208 with 49 positive and 159 negative. Ector County Health Department provided a nursing home update in a press release. Focused Care in Odessa has 12 active cases, 21 total cases, and 2 deaths. Sienna Nursing Home has 11 active cases, 15 total cases, and 1 death. Buena Vida Nursing Home has 3 active cases. Madison Medical Resort has 7 active cases. And the Courtyards Assisted Living has 5 active cases.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, July 9, 2020. EOG donates $114,344 to WTFB. The West Texas Food Bank received $114,344 in donations from EOG Resources and its employees, according to a press release from the oil company. The funds were the result of a company-wide unlimited 2-for-1 matching gifts program that ran through the month of June, according to the release. The amount received by WTFB is enough to provide 400,000 meals. The Houston-based company donated a total of $822,000 to 40 food banks across the country, including Houston Food Bank, San Antonio Food Bank, Regional Food Bank of Oklahoma, Food Bank of the Rockies, Great Plains Food Bank, North Dakota, East Texas Food Bank, Tarrant Area Food Bank, and the Roadrunner Food Bank, New Mexico. MCPL program continues. Midland County Public Library is offering virtual and in-person programs for National Summer Learning Week through Friday. The virtual programs are posted to the library's Facebook page at the time listed. The entire collection of MCPL's virtual programs may be accessed anytime on the library's YouTube page or website. In-person programs, such as library lunches and take and make, are designed to limit person-to-person contact and encourage social distancing. Library lunches continues through August 7 at the downtown branch. Today's schedule, theme, Eat Healthy and Grow Strong to Win at Wellness, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., take and make grow a bean in a bag at both branches. 11:30 a.m. Virtual Toddler Storytime, The M&M's County Book, by Barbara Barbieri McGrath, online. Noon to 1 p.m., library lunches with activity sheets from West Texas Food Bank and free jump ropes. 1 p.m., Family Place Virtual Wellness Book Display and Recommendations, online. 4 p.m., Virtual Spanish Storytime, Fuego, by Jorge Agueta, online. Organizers cancel State Fair of Texas. The State Fair of Texas, which had been planned for the fall, was canceled Tuesday because of ongoing concerns about the spread of the coronavirus, fair organizer said in a statement. Organizer said the fair, a long-standing tradition for many Texans, is scheduled to run next year from September 24 through October 17 in Dallas's Fair Park. More than 2.5 million people attended the fair last year. Fair organizer said this is the first cancellation since World War II. Texas Tribune. Doug Russell Pool is open today. The city's pools, Doug Russell and Washington Family Aquatic Center, are open on alternating days during the coronavirus pandemic. Doug Russell is open today for 2 3-hour sessions, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Passes are $3 and go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before opening. MISD serves summer meals. Midland ISD summer meal schedule is in effect. Breakfast and lunch meals will be available for grab-and-go 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at 11 locations through July 31, according to a press release from the district. Meals are available for any child 18 or under, or those who receive services from school. The locations are Bonham, Bowie, Bunch, Burnett, Dezavala, Rusk, Santa Rita, South, and Yarborough Elementary Schools, Fire Station No. 4, and Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park. Menus are available at MidlandISD.net under Child Nutrition Services. Today in Texas history, 1 year ago, billionaire H. Ross Perot, who ran for president as a third-party candidate in 1992, died at his home in Dallas. He was 89. Today in history, today's Thursday, July 9, the 191st day of 2020. There are 175 days left in the year. On this date, in 2004, a Senate Intelligence Committee report concluded the CIA had provided unfounded assessments of the threat posed by Iraq that the Bush administration had relied on to justify going to war.
Obituaries. Virgil Henry Piccola. On October 16, 1926, in McAllister, Oklahoma, Frank and Teresa Piccola welcomed the fourth of six children into this world. While filling out the birth certificate for this life's miracle, the attending physician, Dr. Virgil Henry Bartop, asked Miss Piccola, "What would you like to name this child?" Our grandmother said, "Well, I suppose we should name him after you," while looking at our grandfather, who was standing behind and slightly to the side of the good doctor. Old world Italian manners would not allow for a correction. Therefore, Benny, Tony, Johnny, and later Francis and Margaret, Margie, were joined by Virgil Henry Piccola. In World War II, Virgil served in the United States Army, stationed in Tokyo, Japan, in General Douglas MacArthur's headquarters in the Communications and Telegraph Office. Afterwards, he attended Oklahoma A&M, later to become Oklahoma State University, and graduated with an accounting degree. Sinclair Oil, later to become Atlantic Richfield Company, ARCO, would be his only employer for 35 years. He moved around to many office locations earlier in his career, spending time in Fort Worth, Snyder, and Odessa, Texas, Casper, Wyoming, Seminole, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and finally Midland, Texas, where he spent most of his career. In the Midland office of Sinclair is where, on a blind date set up by friends, he met the love of his life, Vista Mae Chandler of Stanton, Texas. Virgil Henry Piccola went to the Lord Tuesday, June 30th, 2020, surrounded by his three boys and the love of his family and friends. Virgil was a devoted father who raised his three young sons after losing his wife in 1965 to a sudden death, of which the cause is known only to God. He was a hero in his boys. He could fix anything. He set an incredible example of how to face life's difficulties with strength, love, and determination. He is preceded in death by his beloved wife, Vista Mae Chandler Piccola, father, Frank, and mother, Teresa, brothers, Benny and Johnny, sister, Frances. He is survived by his brother, Tony Piccolo, sister, Margaret Piccolo Gonders, three sons, Frank Allen Piccolo of Houston, Texas, David Aaron Piccolo and wife Kimberly of Denton, Texas, and Gary Carl Piccolo and wife Shelley of Fort Worth. Six great-grandchildren, a stepson, Larry White, and four great-grandchildren, and all his friends at Discovery Village. The Piccola family would like to thank the wonderful people of Icon Hospice and Discovery Village. Your loving care in Dad's final days can never be repaid and will never be forgotten. Virgil Henry Piccola was laid to rest July 8, 2020 at Rest Haven Cemetery in Midland, Texas, next to Vista Mae Piccola at a small graveside ceremony with his immediate family. He will be missed. Worth Earl Beard. Worth Earl Beard, 79, of Midland, Texas, entered into eternal rest on Thursday, July 2, 2020, in Midland, Texas. Graveside service will be Saturday, July 11, 2020, at 10:30 a.m. at Monahans Memorial Cemetery in Monahans, Texas. Earl was born on September 16, 1940, in Oak Grove, Louisiana, to Amos Beard and Ophelia Whitaker Beard. He proudly served as a paratrooper in the United States Army. After the Army, he loved the work he did in the oil field as a district manager for Drill Company and was proud of Curley's inspection service, which he owned and operated for many years. He was a former pilot and had a deep passion for airplanes and flying. He loved spending time with his grandkids, teaching them to play cards and pool. Earl was a kind Christian man who loved people and would help anyone he could. Earl is survived by sons Sean Beard and his wife Heather of South Lake, Texas, Dustin Beard of Clyde, Texas, and Scott Brown and wife Ritzel of Earl City, Oklahoma. Grandchildren Shelby Parrish and husband Jake, Abby Heath Mason and Landon Beard, Tyler Chase and wife Haley, Michaela and Braden Brown, numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. Earl is preceded in death by his parents, brothers, and sisters, Raymond, Curly, Brenda, and Wilma, and a newborn son. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, 501 Street, Jude Place, Memphis, Tennessee, 38105. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Jesse Joe J.J. Madrid Jr. Jesse Joe J.J. Madrid Jr., 30, returned to God on July 4, 2020 in Odessa, Texas, due to a motor vehicle accident. As a veteran of the Global War on Terrorism, Jesse served honorably for 8 years before returning home to Texas. Jesse was born on August 9, 1989 in Midland, Texas. Upon graduation from high school, Jesse eagerly enlisted in the Army as a 68E dental specialist. After completion of basic training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and advanced individual training at Fort Sam Houston, Texas, Jesse was assigned to the Republic of Korea, where he would meet his then-wife, Phoebe, and also welcomed the birth of his only child, Alexander Miguel Madrid. During his 8 years of service, Jesse served in Korea, Honduras, and South Carolina, and was awarded the following awards, decorations, and badges: Meteorosis Service Medal, Army Commendation Medal, 4th Award, Army Achievement Medal, 10th Award, Army Good Conduct Medal, 2nd Award, National Defense Service Medal, Global War on Terror Service Medal, Korea Defense Service Medal, Military Outstanding Volunteer Service Medal, Parachute Badge, and the Air Assault Badge. Jesse was a brave and loyal soldier, as well as a patient and loving father. A gifted athlete, Jesse completed multiple 10K runs and numerous half marathons. He is survived by his son, Alex, mother, Linda, and husband, Donald Ray, father, Jesse, and sisters, Brittany and Jacqueline, and brothers, Christopher, Julian, and Christina. A private ceremony for immediate family only due to COVID-19 restrictions will take place in Midland, Texas on July 10th. Jesse's remains will be interred with fellow veterans at Fort Sam Houston National Cemetery, San Antonio, Texas. Please give flowers and donations to the ones that need it most in your family and life, and honor Jesse by living every day to the fullest. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to the Avalos, Sanchez, and Funeral Home. Death Notices. Andres Ramos Gomez. Andres Ramos Gomez, 67, of Midland, passed away July 4, 2020, in Midland, Texas. Andres was born on May 3, 1953, to Eva and Martin Ramos in Chihuahua, Mexico. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements by American Heritage cemetery, funeral home, crematory. Cleveland Harris Jr. Cleveland Harris Jr., 30, of Odessa, passed away July 4, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Cleveland was born on October 19, 1989, to Veronica and Cleveland Harris Sr. in Midland, Texas. A visitation will be held on Friday, July 10th from 10 to 12 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. The funeral service will take place immediately following the visitation at 12 p.m. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Socorro Galindo de Valdez. Socorro Galindo de Valdez, 76, of Midland, passed away Monday, July 6, 2020. Viewing will be Thursday, July 9, 2020, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary starting at 7 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street. Funeral Mass is set for Friday, July 10, 2020, at 3 p.m., also at Heavenly Gate Chapel. Burial will follow to Serenity Memorial Gardens. She is survived by her husband, Jesus Valdez, one son, Francisco Valdez Galindo, 5 daughters, Guadalupe Valdez Carrasco, Manuela Erica Valdez, Norma Gamboa Elijica Hernandez, and Maria de Jesus Valdez. One brother, one sister, and numerous grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nephews, nieces, and cousins. Juanetta King. Juanetta King, 93, of Alpine, passed away July 4, 2020, in Midland, Texas. Juanetta was born on February 26, 1927, to Elta and Holly Stoner in Palmyra, Nebraska. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Willie George Morgan. Willie George Morgan, 45, of Midland, passed away July 4, 2020. A viewing will be Thursday, July 9, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with an evening service starting at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Funeral service is set for Friday, July 10, 2020, at 11 a.m., also at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery, 6800 South Highway 349, Midland, Texas. He is survived by his wife, Christina Anna Morgan, 3 sons, Javier Morgan, Sean Torres, and Gosha Torres, 3 daughters, Juliana Morgan, Lily Morgan, and Jillian Morgan, 4 brothers, and 8 sisters.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Odessa American, Thursday, July 9th, 2020. COVID-19 patient dies after release, by Michael Merlot. A COVID-19 patient died Tuesday following her release from Odessa Regional Medical Center in Odessa. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Saravanan said the patient was a woman in her 80s who was a resident at a Crane nursing home. She had somewhat recovered and had gone back and was doing better initially and then deteriorated quickly, Sarah Vannon said during Wednesday's virtual hospital briefing. Sarah Vannon spoke about concerns regarding patients who are released from hospitals but later have a second wave of symptoms. "We don't know exactly how to predict who would have that and who wouldn't," he said, adding that Odessans should be prepared for a growing mortality rate as the case rate increases. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin said that MCH lifted their transfer diversion on Tuesday. "We are taking transfers in," he said. "We did have our overall census jump almost immediately by 20 yesterday," he said, adding that MCH is working with regional partners to get people transferred back to their home counties as soon as possible to open beds at MCH. Tippin said that MCH is seeing an increase in COVID-19 patients as well as regular patients. "Our biggest need and concern continues to be staffing," he said, regarding the increase of stress to local healthcare systems per an MCH situation report. The Ector County Health Department sent a press release detailing that there have been 1,602 total cases of COVID-19 in the county. 1,101 5 cases are confirmed positive, and 497 cases are probable positive. ECHD reported that 662 COVID-19 patients have recovered from the virus, and 928 cases are listed as active. The health department also reported that 2 people have died from focused care at Odessa, and 12 of the 21 cases are active. 1 person has died from Sienna Nursing and Rehabilitation, and 11 out of 15 cases are reportedly active. All 3 total cases are active at Buena Vida Nursing Home, all 7 cases are active at Madison Medical Resort, and all 5 cases are active at Courtyard Assisted Living. The release detailed that people awaiting test results should isolate until they are contacted, and County Commissioner Eddie Shelton said that if people know they have been exposed, they should isolate, monitor for symptoms, and call the health department. Citizen comments on the health department Facebook page detailed that people were struggling to get in contact with health department representatives via phone. Shelton said people should keep trying to get through. "We'll get some things in place where they'll be able to get through," he said. Medical Center Hospital detailed in a press release that out of 573 positive cases, 48 are in the hospital. 19 patients are on 7 Central, including 1 from Focused Care at Odessa and 2 from Sienna Nursing and Rehabilitation. 13 patients are on 8 Central, including 1 transfer from Reeves County, 2 from Focused Care at Odessa, 1 from Kermit, 1 from Sienna Nursing and Rehabilitation, and 1 from Permian Basin Community Center Group Home. 16 patients are reportedly on the critical care unit, and 9 of those patients are on ventilators. ORMC President Stacy Brown said that out of 1,118 tests, 156 have been positive, 844 negative, and 119 are pending. She said that as of 3 p.m. Wednesday, 15 patients were in the hospital, including 2 from Courtyard Assisted Living, 1 from Pecos County, and 1 from Big Spring. Brown said that 13 ORMC staff members are isolating and 10 have tested positive for the virus. She added that those cases were community acquired. Brown also said that staff at ORMC are getting tired but are hanging in there. The city detailed that out of 208 people tested at the Woodson Park mobile testing, 49 tested positive. Other news. A Tuesday press release detailed that the Permian Basin Fair and Exposition set for September has been canceled due to COVID-19. The release detailed, in 45 years, 2020 is the first year it has been canceled, and the fair board is committed to coming back in 2021. MAGA in Permian Basin, Trump Coming to West Texas, by Royal McGregor. For the first time in his presidency, President Donald Trump will visit the Odessa Midland area at the end of the month for a campaign stop. Trump has scheduled a lunch to take place July 29th. Sherry Hurt, the president of the Ector County Republican Women's Club, said over the phone that she didn't have specifics regarding time or place. "All I can tell you right now is what I've been told and that the event will be on the 29th, Hurt said. "Any further information that I don't know would have to come from the Trump media people." The cost of the lunch is $2,800, while a photo opportunity with the president is $50,000, and a roundtable discussion is $100,000. Checks can be mailed to P.O. Box 61750, Midland, Texas, 79711. Hurt said the announcement didn't catch her by surprise. She explained this was a goal that ECRW had been working on. Hurt said it's an honor that a sitting president would travel to West Texas. "We've been working toward this goal for quite a while," Hurt said. "We are thrilled that it worked out." Hurt said she's assured the event will follow whatever the health guidelines are at that time. "We will follow whatever is sent out by the governor," she said. Vice President Mike Pence visited Midland on April 17, 2019, as he attended a fundraiser and toured an oil rig operated by Midland's Diamondback Energy. That dinner cost was $2,800, and to have a photo with Pence, the cost was $15,000. A reception with the VP required a $50,000 donation, a previous Odessa American article detailed. Trump is in a heated battle with former Vice President Joe Biden as the commander-in-chief seeks a second term. The last former president to visit the area was George W. Bush, who landed at Midland with First Lady Laura Bush after leaving the White House as President Barack Obama took office. Former President Bill Clinton campaigned in West Texas for Hillary Clinton as she sought the nomination that would eventually go to Obama. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, said over the phone on Wednesday evening the importance of a sitting president coming to West Texas. He explained the oil patch in West Texas is the heartbeat of the American economy. "It is incredibly rare to have a sitting U.S. president in our part of Texas," Landgraf said. "I'm very excited about it." ODC to discuss small business funds by Michael Merlo. The Odessa Development Corporation today will discuss the possible creation of an emergency pool of funds to assist small businesses. ODC board member Chris Cole said in a phone interview that the potential funds may be used in emergency situations like the COVID-19 pandemic to assist small Odessa businesses that may have missed out on bank assistance or government funds like the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP. Cole also said that today will be the first time ODC members have discussed the item, and any action taken will have to go through ODC, the Compliance Committee, and the City Council. "We have specific guidelines that we have to work within. This would fall within these guidelines from the emergency standpoint," he said, adding that it is about the viability of small businesses being able to survive. ODC has not been able to meet yet to discuss the details regarding what criteria and requirements businesses would have to meet to get such money, Cole said. He also said that ODC members have not discussed if the process in which that money is awarded to businesses could be expedited if the emergency pool is established. "This is kind of unprecedented times that we're in, and it just calls us to do some different things that fall within the realm of what we can do," Cole said. The meeting will be held at 2 p.m. today in the City Council chambers on the fifth floor of City Hall, 411 West 8th Street. The meeting will be held with social distancing guidelines. ODC will also review and discuss the proposed fiscal year 2020-2021 General Development Plan and discuss assistance emergency options related to the COVID-19 pandemic.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.